Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four, brought to you by DraftKings. And you know DraftKings is my favorite sports book, but it's also America's top-rated sports book. I love it. I know you will too. And listen to this great offer. DraftKings Sportsbook, it's putting you courtside with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in site credits. That's right. Pick any basketball team that's still in contention. You bet $1, and if that team wins, you win $100 in site credits. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up, and you can turn $1 into $100 in free credits. That's code KSN for a limited time. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, wager paid out and site credits. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, in quarter number three, we talked about the question marks for 2021. Now, in quarter number four, let's look at places where Penn State is better than they were in 2020, where we're at least fairly confident that's the case. And on your notes, you start out at the top by saying the offensive coordinator is legitimately better and more dynamic. It seems like just a year ago we were singing the praises of Kirk Ciarca coming in as the new offensive guru. This year, it's Mike Yurcich. What makes you so confident he'll be better?
Well, I just think his track record just shows that's where Penn State wants to go, to be able to create more explosive plays. He's shown that he has had talented players, and I think he's got talented players at Penn State too. I think there's just a very big gap between good offensive coordinators, let's just say the top 30 or 40% in the Power Five, and maybe the top tier of offensive coordinators. And I think Mike Yurcich is in that top tier of coordinators, and he forced James Franklin's hand. 2 years ago, James Franklin wanted to hire him. It didn't happen then. He got a chance again. He made what was a cold, calculated business decision and said, we have wanted this guy for a while. He is a guy who can definitely take our offense and probably our quarterbacks to another level. I have to jump at this chance to hire this guy again. And there's a reason for that. And I think he's in that top 10% of coordinators. You have an elite type guy, and you had the spring for him to actually work with players, which I think is another huge step in the right direction, obviously.
And you used the word dynamic. I believe that's also part of what James Franklin's looking for, the style that he's looking for. You mentioned earlier in the show how with Sean Clifford last year, when they started winning, they did it by getting very conservative. It resulted in a few wins at the end of the year, but that's not what James Franklin is looking for. Speaking of dynamic, let's talk wide receivers, Dustin. A year ago, that was the biggest question mark. Now, it's a strength. You got to feel pretty confident with this group going in.
It was a huge question mark last year. We were working with another wide receiver coach. That turnstile image was in everybody's head. And Taylor Stubblefield had been, what, at seven jobs in 8 years or something like that? So there was legitimate reason to believe, like, this is just another stop. There's going to be another wide receivers coach next year. We haven't really seen a lot of progress from the wideout. So nobody was expecting anything from this group last year. Nobody was expecting anything from the new coach. And nobody was really expecting, I think, that Taylor Stubblefield will be even back this year. So you have, obviously, Jahan Dotson and Parker Washington stepping into and validating themselves and proving themselves worthy of being a legitimate number one and a legitimate number two is huge news. Now what you're looking for is development, but you're not looking for development into a prime time position. You needed both of these guys to emerge, and you weren't sure if they were going to. And now you have much more manageable problems to solve, which is who's our number three, who's our number four, how are we bringing the young depth along. And I think to go with that, with Taylor Stubblefield back and the way that 2020 went, you just have more confidence in the position group and the position coach in general, that you feel like finding that number three and number four option is just going to be a matter of when, not if.
Another part of this is, a year ago, the number one receiver, KJ Hamler, made the decision to move on. So you had the trickle-down effect to losing the number one guy. This year, number one guy, Jahan Dotson, is coming back. That makes everything easier. The other part of it is, you mentioned Parker Washington, Keandre Lambert-Smith was the other true freshman who got to see a lot of playing time. That promises well for the future when you have guys that young making a difference. Another position that's a bit different this year is at cornerback, and it's really just the amount of depth there, Dustin. It even allowed them to move positions for a couple guys.
It was somewhat jarring, the amount of depth and the amount of options that that ended up giving James Franklin and his staff. And because you were able to bring in Johnny Dixon, who had played, I think, in about 24 games over the course of his South Carolina career with some starts in there. He'd played some big-time football. Him coming over as a transfer was big news. And then for Kalen King to show what he has shown, not only physically but mentally and just looking like he's up to the task, that allows you to try to make other positions better off the depth that you created. And I think that's why Franklin had no issue. I don't think you bring in Johnny Dixon because you need a cornerback. You bring in Johnny Dixon and you welcome him because you could use a really good player no matter what position he plays. And so I think bringing him in gave these options. We'll see. I think Keaton Ellis has a shot to maybe stick at safety. And I think Marquise Wilson has a shot to maybe stick at this, you know, versatile wide receiver. Maybe he still plays DB. Maybe he's in the return game. Just somebody that you can get the ball in his hands and watch him work. That was made possible because they did such a good job of both developing and recruiting depth at cornerback.
Another guy that I think gets overlooked a bit with all these other names we're talking about is Tariq Castro Fields, who was injured quite a bit last year, missed, I think, most of the season. Hopefully he's healthy and he's back. A healthy Castro Fields also makes a difference there, Dustin.
Oh, for sure. And I think Penn State's been waiting for this. Tariq Castro Fields been waiting for this. He wasn't very healthy in 2019 either. So he's got a certain reputation or fans, I think, look at him a certain way and don't really consider him because he's been around a while as a player with more upside than what we've seen from him. But he very much does. If he's healthy and can stay on the field and stay 100% and move as well as he can, if he's his best self, he's a legitimate number one cornerback. And then you've got a guy like Joey Porter Jr. there as well. Daquan Hardy, you know, there's a lot of good options. They're going to run easily five deep with talented guys. And that's assuming that these other two change positions. And I think Tariq Castro Fields, his experience counts, and he does have cornerback one tools.
And I think it speaks to the depth that when we first brought it up, Dustin, we didn't mention the two starters, Tariq Castro Fields and Joey Porter Jr. I'm making that assumption that they're the starters, but that could very well be the case. The other position at linebacker, and we hit on this a little bit in the previous segment, is linebacker, where a year ago you had Micah Parsons opt out, and that had an effect throughout the linebacker position. You didn't have spring practice to prepare for that. It's got to get better this year, and I assume it will, Dusty.
I think you're able to. They were able to assess what happened in 2020, and it's my belief. I don't know this for a fact, but it's my belief that they were just stuck in a spot where Jesse Lucado was your best option. You knew that he was sort of a square peg for that round hole, but he also is. It's not like he's unathletic, and he was experienced, and he made sense to pencil in as a starter. Maybe Brandon Smith wasn't quite where he needed to be in terms of taking on a bigger role on the side of the field where he can play in more condensed spaces, get downhill and be physical and be closer to the ball at all times. I think Penn State just didn't have these guys quite close enough to making that jump. And it probably has something to do with not having the ability to work them at different spots in the spring. And then Micah Parsons opts out. And I think they were just trying to make the best of a not great situation at linebacker. Now this year, they had a chance to reset. you have some questions. You're going to have some young guys, I think, in that top six, probably two really young players in that top six. But the top three, I think, are not only more athletic, but they're in better positions to succeed than the group was last year.
And you made mention of players stepping up at linebacker, at least in the two deep. Nowhere else on the defense than the defensive line do we need to see that happen, where with guys stepping up. You mentioned that some of the young defensive tackles are almost ready. I think you'd like to see that not only among the tackles, but along the defensive ends also, Dusty.
You are going to need probably what? Between the four spots on the defensive line, you're probably going to need three or four, you know, redshirt sophomore and younger type players to take significant steps forward. At the very least, to play that number three, number four, number five role in their respective rotations. And I think you are going to see that. You mentioned Smith Vilbert as a guy at defensive end. You're looking at Hakeem Beamon and Devon Ellis as two names. And then there's also some redshirt freshman types that I don't think are going to play significant roles this year, but I think could make this position group very, very good for next year. So I think you are more dynamic at the tackle spots this year. It's just a question of what you may be lost in experience and continuity with Antonio Shelton, if that extra dynamic layer on you know, these young guys, if it ends up being a positive. And I honestly feel like it will be. I think tackle is going to be a sneaky strength this fall.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. You know, you mentioned a couple of these guys. How about someone like Keziah Izzard? Would we see, and Cole Brevard? Are these guys too young to see them this year, or could they step up?
I think anything is possible. I happen to love both of those players. I think Keziah Izzard is going to be a great player sooner than later. I just wonder if at their age, they're going to have to do something pretty significant to stand out, because they're going to have to overtake players who are not only older than them, but have actually gotten some actual playing time before. So they're going to have to do something to force that issue. And I don't think that's impossible at all. I just think I think this year probably isn't the year for a guy like Keziah Izzard, but next year, I think will be.
When you bring in a guy like Tangelo with a transfer portal, you had Antonio Shelton transferring out. Call it a trade. Did they win the trade?
I'm no disrespect to Antonio Shelton, but if PJ Mustipher can play that occupy blockers role and play that well, it makes everybody better. And I think you're able to more than make up for the loss of Antonio Shelton. Good player, experienced player, did his job well. I think you can have some addition by subtraction here.
We are going to see come the fall, but that is it for our show. Thank you all for listening, and be sure to join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. DraftKings Sportsbook is putting you courtside. Pick any basketball team still in contention. Bet $1, and if that team wins, you win $100 in site credits. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up. That's code KSN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.